My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And why that's how you get a his head. Killer with
the Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency is here for you. Say you're a first-time home buyer out there and you've been thinking about, I don't know, kind of scary out there with the interest rates. Well, they're coming down. So it was a good time even with interest rates. Obviously going to be a better time for you when they come down. And the Live Love Group can take you through all of that. They can help you find the home of your dreams, whatever you're looking for, with no compromises. You'll love them. Reach out. So to livelovememphis.com.
901-625-5200 is the number. Expect to have all your questions answered and answered in a way that you're going to understand. I can understand. First time home buyer, you don't know anything. I certainly knew zero. Speaking of myself here, you may know more than that, but you might not know enough, and not knowing enough can lead you down the wrong road. You buy the wrong house, you end up in the wrong place, you end up upside down, underwater, however you want to put it. That was me, because I didn't seek out the advice of someone like Jennifer Carson's in the Live Love Memphis group beforehand. Then I'm glad I did, though, on the selling side. Thank goodness she got me out of that mess. We're in a much better situation now. Others, the Vannemans, same situation, met with several other agents, investors who told them there was no way they could sell their house, get out from under it. They went back to Jen. Jen took care of them. And now the Vannemans are happy. So it's not just me. It's everybody we've sent over to Live Love. 625-5200. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's get it.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right, so again, we've talked about it in terms of what's going on today. We have that USA-Serbia game that will begin at 2 o'clock that will determine the winner of, you'll advance the gold medal game. Winner advance to the gold medal game. I hope I made that clear. But that is what's at stake for the Americans later today. And it looks as though, barring a preposterous collapse, I don't know, I guess crazier things have happened in the sport of basketball, Jay Smoove. Germany's down 11 with 6 minutes to go. So France, the home favorite, you know, they're going to get all the calls in the last 2 minutes. Bro.
What was the line on this game?
Germany minus 5.5. Okay. So this would be an upset. An upset for the Frenchmen.
Two straight.
That's correct. Yeah.
They're not supposed to be here. They weren't supposed to be Canada and Germany.
I will say, before the game started, there was a rogue 6.5 out there on Germany. And I just, because it opened at 1. It opened Germany minus 1. And it got bet all the way out to minus 5.5, minus 6.5. And I was very tempted to take France plus 6.5. I could not get there at the end because it's kind of hard to know how much of what they did against Canada was real and just that. Or was it just like that buzz of benching Gobert and they shot the ball lights out? I don't know. So I stayed off of it. But it could not be more obvious that benching Gobert has unlocked a new version of Wimby, a new version of the guards. Your spacing is better. I mean, Gobert is just a completely – we know this, right? He's a complete defensive liability, whether that's in FIBA, whether that's in the NBA. I mean, France went out – Gobert played in the World Cup a year ago, and France went out in disgrace. In the World Cup, didn't medal, didn't come close to medaling, lost to Canada in the World Cup. So, you know, it was just not a good showing for them. And again, I think Gobert is a big part of that. And he got played off the floor by the end of it against the Mavericks, right? I mean, he was just, he's a liability, always has been, for that offense, or lack thereof. So you take him out of the equation. You already got Wimby. I mean, it ain't like you're hurting for defense with him. So as long as he can stay out of foul trouble, which he has done, you know, you should be able to win more games than you lose. And that's actually been the difference. So barring that, it's going to be France versus the United States, which is, again, a 15.5-point favorite. It'd be the upset of the tournament if the United States loses this game to Serbia, which is amazing because Serbia is probably the second or third best team in this thing. And it would still be the upset of the tournament if it happened. So, you know, it's interesting, like, with Wimby, you see, like, the development is, I mean, he's still, what, 19 years old? And I just feel like games like this and settings like this, you know, we only saw really a glimpse of it last year as for him as a rookie. He hasn't had a good team yet. What about when he actually has one? That's kind of where my mind goes.
Yeah, going to be a problem.
And again, I don't know how, I mean, maybe Castle is like that first step, right? I mean, he could be a good one. So
I think he's perfect.
Yeah.
For them and for Wimby.
And, you know, the other thing about Wimby is how much he held up a year ago, too. I don't recall him missing many games, if any. So he's 20 years old now. I mean, again, you know, he's all defensive first team, rookie of the year, all rookie first team, led the league in blocks as a 20-year-old, as a 19-year-old to start the season.
And he could be the defensive player of the year next year.
For the next 10.
Good.
You know? And, you know, so the Spurs are coming, too. The Spurs are coming in the West. And I just feel like, you know, settings like this, I do look forward to the matchup with the United States. Like seeing him against our best, you know, with a team that's better than the Spurs. It's not great, but it's better than the Spurs, you would say, in terms of just overall. So that'll be fun to watch.
More concerned about the crowd and that sort of, you know, the team feeding off that than I am Wimby, you know, just overpowering the U.S.'s best.
I mean, right.
That's the thing, is that you would have a U.S. team that's going to come in and say, you know what, we're going to be physical with this kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to push him and see what his limit is.
Yeah.
But, you know, much like, you know, back in the day when Kobe went after Powell. I mean, he will get singled out, and because he's so young, you know, that's you just wonder how's he going to take that. So,
yeah.
I feel better about handling a matchup with France than I do Germany. So this is, you know, it'll be a good environment,
mm-hmm.
and that you'll have the crowd hype on Saturday and everything else. So that Saturday morning, I'm assuming, will be when that thing tips off.
I think it might be like 2:30 or something like that, 2 o'clock. It might be in the afternoon.
Yeah, it'll be good, but they're going to handle France.
I think so. I think they'll be big favorites. I mean, if they're 17.5 over Serbia, or 15.5. I mean, I would think maybe you get some home court here. It would be similar to that. You know, it'd be 15.5, 16.5, something like that. So
they're doing our work for us. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Germany was the team that presented the biggest challenge. So France is doing a little bit of your work for you.
Exactly, exactly. So anyway, that's happening now. It is 66-57, 4:50 to go. And France just makes it a 10-point game at the foul line. So this will be Germany's first loss, though, in 2 years in international play, you know, in terms of actual games that count. You know what I'm saying? They won all the knockout group play games last year. Obviously, they won all the knockout games in the World Cup, and they went all the way and won the World Cup. And they have not lost a game here yet. I mean, I don't count friendlies. Maybe, you know, you should, but I don't really count friendlies. In terms of, like, actual games that count, they have not lost. So this is an incredibly impressive win for France if it holds. 4:30 left. Germany just made it a 3-7-point game. When this goes finals, we'll obviously let you know.
Next story.
Got more Olympics going on, and the man they call the face of American sprinting. His name is Noah Lyles. He shined in the 100, talked the talk, and then backed it up. He's looking to become the first U.S. man to win gold in the 100 and 200 in the same Olympic Games. You got to go way back to when I was a baby boy, Carl Lewis, back in 1984. Now, he's going to, that finals, he did not win his semifinal. Remember, he did not win his semifinal of the 100 either. Comes back, wins the 100. That final is going to be around 1:30, I believe, Central Time. And so all eyes will be on Noah Lyles as he looks to make history. You know, it's been a while again since we've swept the 100 and 200 on the men's side. Sydney McLaughlin, I'm not sure how familiar you are with her, John, but she's an absolute. I guess Leverone is, you have to add that part of her name on as well.
Yeah.
She's in she made it look easy in the 400 meter hurdles semifinals Tuesday. She finished 1.7 seconds ahead of her opponents in that heat, and she's an absolute stud. I don't know if you've seen some of the commercials this Olympics about AI and this man's daughter wanting to write a letter to her. She's become that much of an inspiration in track. She's that dominant. So she will go today in the 400-meter hurdles, the final, around 2:25. And so, again, those are some of our sprinters. We've done very well in track. And here's the future. It's a guy who I was, you know, had read about coming into the Olympics, was trying to tell you about, but hasn't become a household name, so I couldn't tell you that off the top of my head. His name's Quincy Wilson. He's 16. He's the youngest. He will be the youngest American track and field athlete to ever compete at the Olympics. Wow. When he runs in the 4x400. Imagine a 16-year-old out there.
That's
amazing. We were just talking about Wimby, how young he is at 20. Here's a kid who's 16 years old and is going to get a chance here now on that 4x400 relay team to go out there. And like I said, when he takes the track, he's going to become the youngest American male. Okay, so there must be a female that was younger to have ever participated in an Olympic track and field event. He is the future of Olympic, or at least American Olympic track as well. U.S. women, they continue to roll. We haven't talked as much about them because they're, and the men, like the men, expected to win, but they're, it hasn't been nearly as close on the women's side. They absolutely crushed Nigeria.
Yes.
In that game. And so women are on their way to gold as well. But between track, between the basketball sides, last I looked, we were a medal down to China. But as you said, the predictions are we will surpass them and finish handily in front of them.
Yes.
Basketball track to be part of that.
It was interesting. You bring up Noah Lyles. I don't know if you saw his press conference, but you know, he was like, he was talking about.
Not the NBA, hopefully.
Yeah, he was talking about his team. You know, I guess, are they teammates? I don't know. Which, you know, I guess they're just kind of peers, your American peers. They're not teammates necessarily.
They're teammates, but there's beef between he and another one. Is that what you're alluding to? I think I've heard a little bit about this.
I don't know if it didn't seem like, I don't know if there was beef or not, but he was basically like, he ain't winning. He was like talking him up. He's like, you know, that was a great, he had a great time or whatever. He was like, he ain't winning.
The other American competitors in the race?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He said he ain't winning, man.
Well, I mean, this is history. He's trying to make it, and he's the heavy favorite, and he was coming into the Olympics.
Yes.
This is his race, the 200.
So
you think he's going to get less cocky now?
Yeah, Kenny Bednarik.
Bednarik.
So he said, pretty confident, can't lie. His time definitely woke me up. My job is to make sure that, you know, and then he trailed off. And then he came back and said, that man ain't winning. None of them is winning. When I come off the turn, they will all be depressed.
Mm.
So he talks. He
backed it up, though. He said, you got to love it.
But this is the 200 meter now. So, you know, this is.
The one he's the favorite in, though. He wasn't expected to win the 100.
Right.
Now he's got history on the brain.
That's right. He's a minus. I think I saw he's minus 500 here in this run.
And then shout out to Quincy Hall. I mentioned the 400 meter runner that just dug deep. I mean, there's no other way to put it there. And at a time where the announcers were saying he's fading coming around the final quarter, he literally right after they said that started picking it up and makes a kick there to win gold in the 400. For the Americans, and a personal best of 43:40. It's the fourth fastest time all time in the 400. So shout out again to Quincy Hall, what he did yesterday.
Next story.
All right, we got NFL preseason. Just kind of going through the things, the headlines here. Not a ton. Going to be completely honest with you guys. You guys know that, though. But we do have NFL preseason tonight. Two games, I believe. We have the Panthers and Patriots, which we talked about a little bit earlier. Happy to reset that. For the Panthers, no Bryce Young. I don't know if he's going to play it all this preseason, but I think it's a mistake if he doesn't, because I don't think he's proven enough to, you know, not be out there. Again, if it's an offensive line issue, that's a whole separate issue that you didn't address that. You didn't get enough, you know, offensive line help in the offseason. But he certainly is not playing in this one. For New England, it will be our first looks at Drake May, at Joe Milton. So I am excited about that, you know, for the New England Patriots. This opened at 3.5. It's all the way out to 6.5. I think, again, based on the fact that it's going to be, I think it's Jack Plummer.
Okay.
It's Jack Plummer. But, again,
that
no relation.
Crazily random.
No relation to Jake.
It's a much different story when it's Jack.
Right. And he stinks, though. He's a terrible quarterback, and I expect there to be a pretty big gap between the play those position groups tonight for the Panthers and Patriots. So Joe Milton's had a great camp. I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do. This is usually where
the man is going to be the third string quarterback.
Yeah, but he'll play.
Y'all have taken this one story and just run with it.
Well, I'm just saying, though, this is where he'll play. It'll be Jacoby Brissett for a series, then it'll be Zappe, then it'll be May, and then, you know, Milton could play the whole fourth quarter, you know?
Tannenbaum's saying that Drake May should sit all year. He should be the Jordan Love, Patrick Mahomes type that sits.
I mean,
whereas with Jaden and
Jordan Love's behind Aaron Rodgers, though. I mean,
it's fair, different situation, but that he is not ready is the point.
Right. I mean, he may not be, but.
And again, you are rolling Drake May out there with no weapons.
Yeah.
Jaden's got McLaurin. He's got a run game. We know what Caleb's got. I don't need to hit you over the head with that again.
Right.
Dude, Drake May has nothing. And so you put him out there, you threaten to get him pretty beat up early.
I mean, that's fair.
And look at the plan that they have for Mac. It's an absolute joke.
Yep.
And so it may be smart with their personnel right now to keep Drake May sitting on that bench. And then maybe at the end of the year, you know, because remember, tanking losing is good for the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe at the end of the year, you want to get a look at him.
I would, exactly.
You do that.
Well, because again,
what you don't want to do is get him so beat down, confidence-wise and everything else, that you've beat him up. He can't have an NFL career, David Carr. You know, because he got so beat up, he didn't have anybody to throw to.
Now, that's interesting, yeah.
I mean, Bears have ruined Trubisky. They've ruined any chance of Justin Fields at least succeeding with them. I've seen bad plans ruin quarterbacks that could have been better. So do not roll Drake May out there week one thinking he's going to go be a savior on a team that's got no weapons offensively.
Yeah.
It's a recipe for disaster. You're setting him up for failure.
Yeah, I would not. I think what I would do, I would not sit him for the whole year. I would let him play, what, 3-4 games at the end of the season? When the hay is in the barn, right, on your record?
If I feel good about, my draft position. I don't want him going in there and improving things that, you know, that much is either. Again, they have to be looking at draft position is the most important thing. Forget the locker room and morale because they have so much to replace.
Right.
So, you know, so be it to the grown men in there that want to win games and everything else. You got to be tanking. And if at the end of the season Drake May helps you win, yeah, I didn't even think about it. Said, "Oh no, we're gonna hold off, let you watch the rest of the year, and we'll see you next season."
Yeah, no, I think
they probably got the best shot.
Well, because like they do, and I think that will just happen organically, right?
But what's so dangerous is you won't know on Drake May.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why you got to play.
Kind of stuck.
You can't sit him for the whole year because you would hate to miss out on a quarterback because you don't know.
But who, Carson Beck, Shedeur Sanders? That's the thing. It ain't Caleb Williams this time around.
No, it's not a slam dunk.
It's not C.J. Stroud this time around.
It's not a slam dunk.
So they're kind of stuck. It's kind of purgatory, man.
Right. Quinn Ewers would be the other.
I'm with you on your thought that you want to play him for that reason, but there's not a quarterback that you're for sure on. Carson Beck, Shedeur, you mentioned Quinn, like you were with C.J., Bryce, Caleb, Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm. No, that's definitely...
That guy's not there, it doesn't feel like next year.
I mean, that's fair, but I'd still...
Although they will rise by the time the
draft rolls around. I mean, you have free agency, too. I need to know something. I need to have some kind of feeling about him.
I get it. You want to see him out
outside
there.
Outside of practice.
Don't put him out there with no bad plan. You know, you did that with Mac Jones.
Yeah, my plan is 13 games of the season will probably be played by some combination of Jacoby Brissett and Bailey Zappe, right? And then 4 games left, I'm just going to turn it over to Drake. You've had the whole season to learn the playbook. Get out there and show us what you got in terms of command.
Also, Joe is not on the
active
roster, then.
Well, he is.
Because you just said Zappe.
Yeah, Zappe, I guess he and...
You can carry 3.
Right, and then you put one guy on the
practice
squad.
One is an emergency. No. One is the emergency. It's 2 that doesn't count against your 53.
Got it.
And so nobody's carrying, you know, 4.
But what's the emergency? What's the quarterback?
But your first 2 quarterbacks have to have gone down before you can put this guy in the game, but he does not count.
Gotcha.
It's a new rule, was incorporated before last season.
Gotcha.
He doesn't count against your 53, but I don't think anybody's, you know, keeping 4. You see what I'm saying?
So one of those guys.
So one of them's got to be out of there.
So
they drafted Joe, did they not?
They did.
Spent a draft pick on Joe Milton, yes.
So Bailey would probably
is the likeliest guy to get cut there.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's true. But you get paid. How do you get paid if you're an emergency quarterback?
I have no idea. Didn't look that deep. I didn't look. No, I'm assuming you've got some sort of deal with them, but it's just
because you're technically on the game day roster.
You're on the roster, but you don't count against the 53. That's the important thing. It's an extra player.
Yeah.
Who was it? It was Purdy. It's the Brock Purdy rule.
Yeah, exactly.
That is what they've called it.
Brock Purdy, and then
they won't want you getting down to having to throw in a receiver in there or something.
No, there was a who went. Somebody went down after him too, right?
Yeah, they had a couple. They were down.
It was Jimmy G
first.
Jim Brock,
then Purdy goes down. Okay, they had to go back to their...
Exactly. Josh Johnson. Yeah.
So they're giving you... Yeah. They've called it the quote-unquote Brock Purdy rule.
Well, that's
another
it is.
Quarterback on your roster that doesn't count.
That was the 49ers' best chance. I think that's how we'll look back at all of this. It's like that game against the Eagles, you know?
Oh, yeah. And it was. I mean, if you don't like your chances this year. I mean, who is it? Detroit that stands in their way? 49ers should be right back. It's all in time for them.
It is Detroit. It's Green Bay to an extent.
Yeah.
You know, you have some others. It is a two-point game, 70-68 with 38 seconds left. Germany is not going out without a fight.
Good grief.
It is quite the game in Paris. Dirk sitting next to, guess who? Tony Parker. That is cool.
That's sweet.
That is cool. just taking in the game together.
Probably got a little friendly wager on it.
Yeah, like a little, you know, what, 20 racks?
Or dinner.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Dinner in France, I'm telling you.
Because 20 racks is not, even though it's nothing to them, it's not very friendly.
No, it's not.
Because you got to, like, go wire it. You got to go, like...
No, it's probably a dinner, dude.
You're right. A super nice dinner.
Yeah.
That's you put it on the old Amex. So we have that game, and then we have Giants and Lions. Nobody expected to start for the Giants. Nobody expected to start for the Lions. So that's a dud. That's a dud of a game. You're going to see Tommy DeVito, though. If you thought he was the future at one time last season, you're going to see a lot of him tonight.
Nobody thinks Tommy DeVito is the future.
Yeah. No, they do not.
A lot of people thought that the Giants should have taken a quarterback this year.
Right.
Me included.
Right. But that's what's going on in the NFL tonight, preseason. This is the real first week. The real first week of preseason kicks off later tonight.
Next story.
Should DK Metcalf be suspended for swinging a helmet at a teammate? Even though the teammate had the big cushy helmet on
top? Yeah, what is it, the Guardian cap?
Thank you for the correct name. It really didn't matter. You knew exactly what I was talking about. They don't look as funny looking as they used to. We have gotten used to them.
They and prevent that's good. Concussions and
they
stuff,
They absolutely
right?
do. They're fantastic. Frankly, we're probably going to see them in games here pretty soon.
Absolutely.
I would imagine
absolutely.
Here pretty soon. I'll see them old big head hats in games. And we're going to get used to it, and it's going to be fine because it's safer.
It's
that's
weird
fine.
That they don't use them in games. You have a device you invented. Don't use them in games.
I think that's a fair point, Brad.
I've never understood this.
That's probably most of it about look.
We
right?
realize we have this. Them. We have the seatbelts in the cars. Take them off for the race.
I think eventually we'll get there. In this case, though, do you remember, who was it? Big Garrett? My guy in Cleveland that was swinging helmets at a...
Oh, Myles Garrett.
Myles Garrett.
Yeah, he got into it. Remember,
he swung his in a game, and I think it was... Was it Maddox that he swung it at? But we said it about him that when you swing the helmet, it takes it to another level. And in this case, DK Metcalf, in a fight, a brawl at Seattle camp that was caught on film because NFL Network was literally broadcasting from the camp. And behind them, as they're trying to talk about the storylines everywhere, you see DK going crazy. And all of a sudden, he's got someone's helmet. He's swinging it.
Yeah.
And it just, fortunately for him... It hits a player who's already got a helmet on, hits the top of his helmet. He was swinging for somebody else, I believe, from the story that I've written about it. So he didn't intend to hit the guy without the helmet. He was swinging for someone else. He crossed the line, clearly.
Yeah.
This happens in camp.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Skirmishes happen all the time. This kind of stuff happens in camp. But I would ask the same thing. Is this not crossing a line when you're swinging a helmet that could really do some damage?
Yeah.
Again, I would set aside the fact that this guy was helmeted and had the Guardian cap on. The fact is, you intended to do some damage.
No doubt.
And could have done some serious damage if you had hit one of the players that didn't have a helmet on or the guy whose helmet you had pulled off.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know if you do it in-house. I don't know if the NFL should look into this, but you have got to make it clear to players that this is crossing a line that cannot be crossed.
Yeah.
I think even in camp.
I was, when I played baseball way back in the day as, you know, third or fourth grader, I had a teammate who was warming up in the on deck, right?
Mm-hmm.
With those aluminum bats. And then I had like an absent-minded teammate that walked over
in
close proximity. And he got absolutely stung in the head.
I tell you that.
In the head by the aluminum bat, bro.
That's like
that's
baseball 101.
Bing!
Know?
I was like, bro.
I
don't know where the guy is now. I hope he's okay, but that was a very scary situation. And that's what I imagine like a helmet could do, right? Like, to that degree and that kind of force, too.
I mean, a DK Metcalf swinging it is more force.
Absolutely.
Because of how built that dude is.
Yeah.
He's a freaking unbelievable specimen.
Yes.
Of a physical human being. And so That dude, you could have really hurt somebody more than concussion. You could have put him in a hospital for a long time.
Yeah.
So it's probably the way you handle this is an in-house fine. Mm-hmm. Certainly Seattle is not going to suspend their own key number one receiver. They're trying to win ball games, but you have to get this across to players. And if Seattle doesn't do it with a fine or whatever else, the NFL should step in and fine them. Because I think whether it's in camp or whether it's in games against an opponent, it's uncalled for.
Yeah, so... You know, I think you're right. You have to do something.
These are your own people you swing into that.
Yeah.
That's a little bit different.
I know. It's, like you said, I know it's heated in his camp and everything.
You can
like
keep
that.
It to the pushing and the jostling
right.
and all that stuff
right.
and keep it to the fists. Yeah, you start going helmets, man. You're going to really hurt somebody.
Yeah, the Lions and the Giants got into a brawl,
dude, they've
too.
Been fighting all week.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones was in the first one, and then Malik Nabers was in the second one.
Yeah.
But as the Giants said, we don't need Daniel Jones up in trying to prove something fighting. We need him to back up, and we'll let his offensive lineman handle it for him. Daniel Jones got too much of an injury history
yep.
for him to be for us to be, you know, risking him going down with a training camp, you know, joint practice fight. Yeah, Daniel trying to, you know, he's trying to win over the offensive lineman and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I get it, I appreciate it, but bro, no. This is a prove it year for you. Stay healthy.
Exactly. So I think that he probably will be suspended. Probably should be suspended.
Or fined.
Or one
or
of the
likely.
Two. You could just take him out. You could just suspend him for a preseason game or something like that. I don't know. Like the Giants and Lions got fined, what, $200,000 each?
I didn't see the fine
yeah.
for them.
They got fined $200,000 each for their fights. So, I mean, I know it wasn't as widespread as that, but, you know.
Do we have a final in France?
No. 71, 68, 10.9 seconds. I guess we can kind of take you to it here.
Good Lord.
Germany ball, down three. I assume that France will foul, right? No doubt. No doubt they foul. They're just not going to let Germany get a three off here.
How much time?
10.9 seconds.
I would foul.
Yep.
I think you have to foul.
You have to foul.
You know, it stinks. It stinks if you're Germany, but you know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's nothing you could probably do. You can't even, you know... They're going to foul you as soon as you catch the ball before you go into motion. And the FIBA refs are not going to award anything else. I mean, if France lets Germany play this out and doesn't foul, this game's going to overtime.
Oof.
I guarantee it. It happens all the time.
Yep.
You know, they're advancing the ball at midcourt. So they're going to have a half-court set here out of a timeout to get off a good shot, which they will if France does not foul. I'll commentate it. Let me put on my hassle time. All right, so here we go. 10.9 seconds left. This is for the rights to go through to the gold medal game on Saturday. Voigtman inbound. Wimby guarding. Into Schroeder. No foul from... There it is. France takes the foul. 9.4 seconds.
Yeah.
Called that one. It's a good strategy.
Sending Dennis Schroeder to the line, I believe, unless that was their foul to give, which I don't believe it was, but we'll see. Gobert checking in for some defensive purposes.
Okay.
So I assume that Schroeder's going to the line here. Do you miss the second if you're Dennis Schroeder?
Yes.
Or do you play it out?
You better play it out.
All right, so 71-68.
Don't play around.
Schroeder to the free throw line.
It's too early to try to miss the second.
Got
to
make the first. He misses the first.
Oh,
Schroeder, who has been absolute stones for the Germans the last two seasons in international play.
He has.
Misses the first of two foul shots. Mo Wagner, head in his hands. He knows what it means. So now you probably have to miss this on purpose.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know if he's going to. He doesn't. He makes the second.
No, they're
going
to foul. There's enough time that you foul again. You play the game.
71-69. And, of course, now France is going to take Gobert out, and they're going to put their best free throw shooters in. But, man, Germany, you got to feel like they had it right there. I mean.
They've done a good job of stretching this game out, though.
Yeah, it was getting away from them there in the fourth quarter.
Well called, by the way.
Thank you. I thought it was decent.
Strong and no hesitation.
Yeah, I mean, it's not my bag,
no,
right?
It was Hasseltine-esque.
I'm more of like the color analyst. You know, I like to add the color. But I was in my play-by-play purse there.
You mowed it,
as Caleb would say. So now you're just going to play the foul
Caleb
game.
Caleb wouldn't say that.
And we don't have to. We don't have to live commentate this unless there's some drama. Batum gets it in. DiColo fouled. They try to get the jump ball, not rewarded, and so France will go to the line with the chance to basically ice this game, put it to four, end it in all likelihood. Now they thought that against Japan.
Yep.
And they fouled on the France shooter up four.
Stupid.
So, I mean, how different this could have been if they had not done that.
Wow.
So maybe it'll happen for them on the other side. But I do want to take you guys through to these free throws, and then we'll go to break here. This is again for the rights to go to the gold medal game. DeColo at the line, 71-69. France ahead, 7.4 seconds left. Oh, excuse me, it's not DeColo, it's Cordigne. It's Cordigne. He's got 14 points today for the French. He makes both of these. Germany is all but out of the tournament. First one, good. Oof. Nothing but nylon.
Stones.
Yeah. Yep. One more
for
Cordigne, and France is playing for a gold medal, wow. You have to think. Mm. We're live right here. This is on USA and 92.9, amazingly.
Yeah.
Hopefully we don't get in trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
No, these are not official rights. You're just calling it as a delay call. It's fine.
Cordigne makes the second. It's 73-69. It's going to take a miracle. In to Bonga. Back to Schroeder. He pulls up from half court. Off the rim. No good! It's over! And France! Victor Wembanyama! Nick Batum, the hosts of the 2024 Olympics.
Good for them.
We'll be waiting for the winner of United States and Serbia in the gold medal game on Saturday. Final.
Man.
73-69. For the first time in 2 years, Wembanyama is absolutely beside himself. He's crying. He is crying. Germany goes down and France moves on. Mm. What an emotional victory for the French.
Oui.
It would not have been possible without a ballsy decision from the French national coach to bench Rudy Gobert, a veteran of the team, and for Gobert to accept that role with a smile, knowing that it's what's best for the team. So France over Germany, 73-69. Back to you in studio, Mike Tirico.
Thank you, John. They come in our midst, and France has advanced. To arms, citizens, form your batons, your battalions, and ride for freedom into the Olympic gold medal game.
There we go.
For the United States, presumably for America to match up against.
That's
France.
Right.
Now, how the hell are you Mike Tirico? How am I not Mike Tirico?
He did take that from you.
I'm sorry.
He did. He bogarted it because he's gotten so attached because of the prime time.
Love. I am the one who.
This guy. He does the best Tirico, so he just jumped right in.
You
didn't
are
he?
The closest thing.
I mean,
we have
he took
to my
that.
Tirico.
He took that baton from you. He saw himself as Tirico.
I love Mike Tirico. No,
and because of that conviction, I'm gonna stand. No, because you were so convicted, I'm gonna stand down here.
We had a meeting about this.
And let you be him. I'm gonna stand down. Let you be Mike.
No.
I'm gonna stand down. Let you be Mike.
Well above my pay grade.
It's done.
I think you're going to have to be Dwayne Wade.
Imagine this.
Just say he, him.
As I pivot.
Thanks.
Imagine winning this game, you're Wimby, and then after you hug everybody in the locker, you're going to walk back out.
Yes.
Right, as those Americans are getting ready to play. And imagine how you're going to feel and how far out your chest is going to be in front of that French crowd.
Yeah, man.
As you watch the U.S. and get to wait them, get to see if they can come meet you in the gold medal match. I mean, what a prideful day it will be for
absolutely right
for Wimby. And obviously already is. You said the man's crying.
He's crying.
I'd probably be crying too.
Yes.
This is a lot of greatness coming to him very early in his career.
Absolutely right.
It's deserving. It's deserving. He's deserving of it.
Yeah. So. Of course, you know, 6 days ago it was 85-71 Germany. So they turned that all the way around. And they got the.
I'll
dub.
Tell you, these crowds are helping them, man. I had a lot to do. You're riding the emotion of it.
Yes.
Marshawn taught it's real. Like, it gives you a different level of energy.
Wembanyama did not shoot the ball well. He was 4 of 17, but he did have 3 blocks, 7 rebounds, 4 assists.
Now, he didn't play all that well at all, but just compared to his Olympic averages.
But, I mean, he basically played the whole game because Gobert didn't do anything.
Respect.
You know, so I think that's why he was so emotional, because he was out there for the whole damn thing. You know, and they were big underdogs in this one. So, what a win. What a great win for Germany and – or excuse me, for France.
What's a line like that look if the United States is in that medal game, John? I mean, you're talking about a 10-point game?
I mean, well, again, you have to consider, right? So France is not better than Serbia.
No.
They're not rated higher than Serbia. Maybe they're rated similarly. Let's just say that.
Okay.
Let's say they're rated similarly. And let's impute a little bit for home court advantage.
Okay.
I think, you know, the United States could be a 14-point favorite, 15-point favorite. It'd be a big line, though. It'd be a big number. So, But, you know, you're almost inclined to take France the way they're playing, like, with the points. I mean, them folks are, like, feeling good now. Yeah. You got good vibes, you know, and we'll see what happens in this game against the Serbians. But, yeah, it's going to be a big number. That's the thing with the United States.
That's not ideal, though, with that home crowd playing against you.
I mean, I don't think, you know, Canada was the favorite to be aside you,
right,
in the gold medal game next to you. And they didn't even make it to the medal stage. So, yeah, France was one of the teams. It's not like this is out of nowhere, right? They have Wembanyama. It's not like it's a huge shock, but they started playing, you know, really sloppily in this thing, and they found a way. They should have lost to Japan, you know. They did lose to Germany. They sleptwalked against Brazil, and they're in the gold medal game, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter at the end of the day.
Oh, that's like winning gold for them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
When they get this silver, it'll be like gold.
Exactly right. Silver medal in basketball, you're happy with that all day if you're France. I don't think they've medaled that much.
They'll probably do a movie about this in France, quite frankly, a run to the silver medal in the home Olympics. What are we talking about here? They'll be telling this tale for years to come.
They have three silvers. They actually took silver last Olympics in Tokyo. I did not realize that.
Oh.
But they've never won a gold, and they only have three silver medals in their entire history.
Again, it's still different. It's silver in front of your home
exactly
country.
Right. Yes, that's different. That's you
in a year where you weren't favored to be there.
Yeah, take a shot at the king, you know, at the United States, and let the chips fall where they may. But at worst, you're going home with silver at your
crib. I'm taking them with the points no matter what. U.S. winning, of course, but like, man, that home crowd is going to be bananas.
If Jokic beat us, would he cry afterwards?
No.
Okay, just making sure.
I don't think Jokic does cry. I don't think there's a single moment in his life. I don't think he's a crier, bro.
I think he cries if one of his horses passes.
That might be the only thing. That you're right. I mean, I'd like to know. Like, is there a movie that gets to you? I don't think so.
No movie.
I think he could watch The Notebook, you know, and make it like stone faced. You know.
Yeah, and it definitely doesn't do.
What is this stupid movie? Right. You know, like
no romance stuff.
Yeah, I think even though he is married with children, I don't think he's
watch a romance.
Yeah, I don't think that's his style.
Jokic.
Aren't his brothers like MMA fighters and stuff? Pretty sure
they're wild. I know that. I don't know if they're MMA fighters.
Really?
I think so.
Yeah, they're in the stands wild.
Yeah.
All the time.
Anyway, there you have it. France moves on and awaits the winner of the United States and Serbia. That game at 2:00 live. We'll come back. Lots more to come. Jeff Cogg is going to join us at 1:25. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
I am pleased to welcome to the program Emmy-nominated writer and producer. He's the creator and showrunner of Entourage. He's on Twitter, on X, at Mr. Doug Ellen. The Johnny Drama Cabs gag is still, like, it makes me laugh so much. Like, whenever I'm with our friends, we see somebody with great cabs, like, bro, your cabs, they real?
So humiliating.
92.9 FM, ESPN's Jeffrey Wright and Company. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. Tune in whenever you like on the free Odyssey app with Rewind Technology.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the 2024 Memphis Touchdown Club Fall Speaker Series presented by Landers Auto Group. It's at the Hilton Memphis Hotel with proceeds benefiting Le Bonheur Children's Hospital. Our first speaker is Cole Kublik from the SEC Network on Tuesday, August the 20th. Get your tickets now at 92.9ESPN.com through the Memphis Touchdown Club link.
Stay connected with 92.9 FM ESPN. Catch up anytime with all things Memphis. Never miss a moment on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Attitude MMA Fighters presents MMA, the best mixed martial arts in the Mid-South. Weigh in Friday night at Southland Casino. Doors open at 6. The free show starts at 7, but the main event is Saturday night. Doors opening at 5, and the fight start at 6 with a full card. 12-bout card featuring 4 professional bouts, including Ethan the Arm Assassin Birmingham out of Law School MMA. You get nervous for fights like this?
I usually do, but for this one, I'm not that nervous. I'm more excited than anything.
Must be 21 or older to enter. Get your tickets now through the link at 92.9ESPN.com or through AttitudeMMA.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Great time to go over to Sonic. Get that $1.99 menu. It's all about that value. And that's what you get at Sonic every single day. That $1.99 menu lets you build a crave-worthy meal for just $1.99 an item. Creamy shake, crispy tots, or a quarter-pound double cheeseburger. The fun $1.99 menu. Always five items and always $1.99.
You can try their Sonic Smasher as well. You'll love it. Tangy Smasher sauce, melted cheese, hand-smashed Angus patty seared to crispy perfection. You got to have something to wash it all down, though. Try one of those Flavorista favorites. It's still hot enough outside. That's going to feel good when you get that paradise sunset in you. They got the rainbow slush, the grape escape. Also got French vanilla cold brew iced coffee. It's fantastic. It'll wake you up. Perfect, too, if you're a coffee person. They've got it on ice. It'll be fantastic, again, even on those hot, sunny days. I'm a sucker for a great value meal, and Sonic's got a great one. Just $1.99 an item. Go find out your favorite, I guess, and those tots could be right up there at the top. Live free. Eat Sonic.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM ESPN. Saw a little sound bite on Twitter last night, I believe courtesy of local Memphis. It was Greg Rubin sitting next to Cremonte Hamilton, both, of course, native Memphians.
Memphians.
Playing for the Memphis Tigers, which is pretty damn cool, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that quite a bit, especially from the
means more.
Yeah, from the White Station part of it. I feel like we have not had anybody really play for the Memphis Tigers in football. I know we've had, you know, because Charles Harris played, you know, for them from Whitehaven.
Yeah.
He was pretty, he's still in the
I think they've had some other Whitehaven guys.
Yeah.
Hightower, did he get here? I think, I want to say there's another Whitehaven. I think there's been several.
Marcus Rucker?
Rucker? Yeah. Trying to think of other White Stations.
We don't have many, bro. I really don't think we've had many. Because, you know, we haven't had a ton of D1s. I mean, we've had some, but like Dylan Mitchell was Oregon. He went to Oregon.
Seth Wilson Jr. Boise State.
Yep. I think he maybe went to a few schools, but Boise State was definitely one of them. I think he maybe went the JUCO route.
Chris Marv we sent to Vandy.
That's right. That's right. I'm trying to think, who are the other big ones we've had? Donald Gray went JUCO and then Mississippi State.
The guy you reported on, where did he end up?
Oh, Patera Wilson?
Yeah.
He was at Tulsa.
Not Memphis.
Yep, yeah. Not Memphis. So it feels like
it's not as many, certainly, if it's more than a handful.
Yeah. So I'd like to know.
They got to be more than just Reuben, though. We've had a couple more. Probably got to go back in the day, though.
Yeah, I feel like Greg's like the only guy that we've had from White Station.
Well, he's like Hennigan. He started since the get-go. He's played since the get-go.
And he and Cormonte had a nice little sound bite.
Maurice Jones.
I don't really remember him.
Moo? I think they called him Moo. Maurice Jones?
Was he a defensive lineman or something?
No, he's a wide receiver, bro.
I don't remember him at Memphis, bro.
I think Maurice had a pretty good, I want to say he had a pretty good career in Memphis, too. It was just, you know, that was a different time in terms of wins, losses, but... I think Mo played at Memphis.
Is he the guy who I'm thinking about? Mo Avery. Mo Avery played multiple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really remember Mo Jones, but
he was there. Maybe he wasn't as good as I thought.
He's 11th all time.
11th all time. He was damn good then.
I mean, it wasn't much. 1,300 yards
from Memphis.
Yeah, that has to not be the case anymore.
I appreciate the gentleman that because Mo had slipped my mind. Mo was dang good at White Station. That said, though, you would have to say Whitehaven has a little bit more of a history in terms of...
Man, shout out to Mo Jones, man. I was not familiar with your game, Mo.
He played a little basketball for White Station as well. During my time. I was covering some of those teams, I think.
Well, the point is we need more Spartans, right? We need more Spartans over there at Memphis football. But Greg made a little jokey joke. He said White Station is over Whitehaven in football. Next to, of course, the Whitehaven alum.
That's hard. Even as White Station guys ourselves, that's hard to...
Now, you did fact-check
this. That's hard to stand with them
all. You did fact-check this.
We've only got one state title, 2009.
Okay.
Whitehaven's got two, and they've been there four times. Two runners-up. We've only been there once, won once. And that ain't Michael Jordan-type stuff where you count to 6-0.
Right.
Not to mention, you just kind of laid out the players. It feels like certainly more Whitehavens have ended up at Memphis and ended SEC. Up, but let's be real, all over the... Cormonte Hamilton, I want to tell you, started Ohio State as tight end.
He did.
And so, much as we'd love to say it, that Ruben's right, it's really the way Cormonte Hamilton looked at him. You got to respect the Haven. It's not a discussion.
Yeah.
Whitehaven has more... traditionally more history on that side.
Yes. I think...
Now, you want to talk basketball? It's a different discussion.
Well, yeah.
Although Whitehaven's got some. It's been, but basketball now, state titles now. Now we can have a conversation.
Right. Now it was 2000. It was 2009-10 that they won state.
I'm assuming it was nine. It'll be in like December of 2009. That's the year that TWSAA's got on it.
Okay, so that would
I'm not looking at
that
box.
Would technically be the 2009-10.
Yeah, I think
season.
That was our boy Rutherford.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was
they
a fantastic
beat Maryville 37-27.
There you go.
So I graduated. That was the year after I graduated. I was there for the basketball state title, though. The last one we got. I think that was 08. I'm not exactly sure. But I will say, like, I know nobody cares about it. Y'all get mad at me every time I talk about this. But it does make me sad that White Station Athletics is just not what it used to be.
Stop.
It does. I mean, it makes me sad.
Look at it this way. City school athletics ain't what they used to be. Look at all the pools.
Well, that's true, too. It's not just White Station.
And COVID did a great number on it.
That's true.
That was sort of a turning point in a way because you had no opportunities here. And so in that way, you know, you had a more of a push out to the county schools that were playing. But also now there's this, you know, keeping we see it all over. You know, keeping the talent. Matthew Morrell can go his final year at IMG rather than playing at Whitehaven. Like keeping that talent in town. The private schools are now more of a factor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll get a Keeper Jackson for the first couple of years before Keeper heads out to Columbus like he's doing now. But that's city school. I was having this conversation with somebody earlier this week or maybe late last week. It's not the same in terms, and Hurd was touching on this, and so was Thad. It's just not the same in terms of retaining the talent because of the pull from privates, the pull from the municipalities, the opportunities there at those places, and the big prep schools if you're a 4-5 star that are going to be pulling on you. So
I'm just pulling this up because it's fun for me. White Station beat Raleigh Egypt in the state title game in 2009.
Okay.
Joe had 35. In that one.
Oh, my God.
He was 14 of 18 from the free throw line. He had 35 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. The only other player that finished in double figures for the Spartans was old friend Andre Hollins, who had 10. Now, I'm trying to think, who do we know from...
I'm pretty sure Joe ended up in another title game where he lost to Melrose.
Yes, exactly right.
They both made the title game.
I think that was the next year. I'm not 100%.
I'm pretty sure it was the next year. And Chris Jones ended up with bragging rights.
But for Raleigh Egypt, just curious, and by the way, they finished 35-3.
That was Jimmy Adams.
That was Jimmy Adams.
Yes. Had some dude, he was still pumping out Division I athletes, bro. I don't know if Maurice was on that team, but Mo Miller, who ended up at Georgia Tech... Lawrence Kennard ended up, UAB?
The leading scorer for this one was Ronald Brown.
Ronald Brown ended up, I can't remember what school he ended up at, but he was Tank Brown. He's now a coach now a coach with Team Thad. But I want to say he went off to school somewhere.
Rashad Harris.
He's a hell of an athlete.
Anthony Jones.
I was going to say A.J. Jones, or I think
Reggie
it was Anthony
Fondren.
Jones. Yeah, I don't remember him. Fondren? Fondren.
It's spelled Fondren. Maybe that was wrong, yeah. But yeah, that's two amazing Memphis teams that year.
Well, all of them were. We owned AAA. You were sending Ridgeway up there. You were sending White Station up there. Raleigh Egypt up there. I
mean, yeah, no, you're right. You know, Melrose and Ridgeway.
Don't forget. Do not leave out that undefeated Hamilton team that did what all those teams did not by going undefeated. Under Keelan Lawson, with Jay Watkins, Jay Williams, those guys.
You were like an encyclopedia from those times.
Well, those were my prep years. He's right in my swing. And I should have remembered, to get back to how we got to this, that Mo Jones, the stud in both basketball and football, had played and played really well at the University of Memphis. This is standout. That's how we got here.
This is the man right here when it comes to 2007, 2009 preps. I mean, nobody.
But over the last 15 years, we've sort of, and thanks to COVID, it's not the same at all.
It's COVID and other
factors. A lot of these kids are now going to Bartlett. They're figuring out ways to go to Bartlett and Collierville and suburbs and private schools and some of them preps.
Even those schools are suffering, too.
No, that's like Keeper jumping out down to South Florida, for God's sakes. That's crazy.
High school kids can get NIL now.
Of course.
From high schools.
That's a fact.
You know,
and they're getting
some states. In some states,
the scholarship.
Can you do that here?
I don't believe
I know Missouri's got that. I don't know if Tennessee's got it yet.
I think you.
And I thought Missouri's was tied to you can get NIL if you go to an in-state school or there's something along those lines. Gabe, being from up there, I think has spoken on this. I could be off with the details. I know they've got NIL for high schools in Missouri, but I'm not sure if it's tied to in-state recruiting or not in terms of unlocking that. But we know you can earn as a high schooler. I mean,
TSSAA can't be compensated for activities as image or likeness.
Said can't.
With the student in a uniform, clothing, or gear depicting the name or logo of a TSSAA school. I wonder if
you can't do it affiliated with a school.
Yeah. But you can do it as
you can
athlete.
Do it individually.
You can just get the logos taken off.
Maybe
right?
So.
But I mean, that makes it a little more complicated, right? Like, isn't the rule in Florida different? Like, I think you can.
It's all different states.
Yeah, that's why Keeper probably went to Florida, bro.
Yeah,
because you can get NIL in Florida. They just changed that rule in June.
Tied to your school.
Yeah.
Yes.
High school athletes. There's been a seismic shift in Florida high school sports. As state officials just unanimously approved high school athletes to receive compensation for their NIL.
Yeah. So we've got NIL. We just don't have it as associated with your school.
Which is, what sense does that make?
No.
Wow.
I'm
sure we'll come around if everybody else is doing it.
Because that doesn't help the school.
Because you will lose.
That helps the athlete.
You'll lose student athletes.
Yeah, but like.
Eventually.
The key to NIL is I want to pay you so you'll come play for my school.
Yeah, there's a CA story from when this all went down. Like the really good player that Jamarian Moreau out of Germantown.
Mm-hmm.
He's a football guy, right?
Yeah. He got an NIL deal and he worked around it with the NIL deal marketplace. And like you said, I think it's just there are certain rules. You can't put your uniform on for a TSSAA school. But yeah, this is the way it's going, man. It's younger and younger.
Yeah. It's not great. It's not great for Memphis sports and Tennessee sports in general. I would highly advise our lawmakers and legislators to get with the times, lest they see every single good high school athlete we have leave the state. I mean, that would be my advice, because that's going to happen. They might anyway. But man, what if I'm just going to use this as an example? What if White Station could pay? What if they could? What if Whitehaven could pay? What if, you know what I'm saying? I mean, again, I don't know how much money we have. I don't even know where that would come from.
None. Not the city schools.
But, okay, fine. What if Briarcrest could pay legally? What if Christian Brothers could pay? What if MUS could pay? That would at least keep the guys in the city.
Lausanne.
Lausanne, yep. They've never paid. None of those schools have ever paid. They've never recruited. All of those players wanted to be at those schools for no other reason than the prestige of the brand.
You is a lie.
Jason,
they've never recruited.
They
right?
don't
they've never
recruit.
Paid full scholarships.
They've never done that.
Yep.
You go there because you want to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
For Christian Brothers, it's the Purple Wave, right?
Why did you're just naming them out, or you have to go to...
Well, I'm just saying that's...
That's just where you're starting.
Well, yeah, I'm just kind of working my way down the list. You know, you want to be Lynx Nation when you go to Lausanne. The house that Marc Gasol built, Scott Labissiere, Moussa Cisse, needless to say.
I don't know if Marc built it.
He built it.
Yeah.
And the guy they keep interviewing for all these documentaries...
They didn't join the arms race until much later.
Briarcrest.
They've been in the arms race.
Right? Nah, they don't recruit.
You're leaving out the latest entry into the arms race.
Who's that?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.